Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. An escapee from the Clarinda Academy was quickly apprehended Friday night. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers said in a press release that a white male who was originally from the Elkhorn, Iowa area escaped sometime between 7:30 and 8 p.m. on Friday. Just before 9 p.m., Brothers announced that the escapee had been apprehended and brought back to the facility. Other than the suspect's physical description, no other details about the incident were released. There have been numerous previous escapes from the Clarinda Academy this year. The Clarinda Academy is a privately run school that offers educational and residential treatment programs for boys and girls. Officers with the Red Oak Police Department arrested a Council Bluffs man on an active warrant on Friday night at 11:38 p.m. Officers spoke with 44-year-old John Bowen in front of the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center about an issue he was having and discovered that he had an active warrant through Douglas County, Nebraska. He was then taken into custody and held on $5,000 bond and set for trial. Fremont County authorities are blaming a cigarette for starting a fatal fire in southwest Iowa. The Daily Nonpareil reports that the death of 66-year-old William Daniel on Tuesday was ruled an accident, a result of carbon monoxide poisoning. Fire crews from Riverton, Sydney, and Hamburg were dispatched to the Riverton home at about 6:20 a.m. State Fire Investigator John Teicher says the fire was contained to a master bedroom. The sheriff's office says the fire was started by an improperly discarded cigarette on Daniel's bed. The Red Oak Police Department responded to a two-vehicle accident at 2nd Street and Valley Street at 5:12 p.m. yesterday. It was determined that a 1999 Dodge Durango driven by 24-year-old Valerie Garner of Red Oak was traveling west on Valley Street, while a 2001 Volkswagen Jetta driven by 22-year-old Heather Graham of Red Oak was traveling north on 2nd Street. When they met at the intersection, Gardner had the right-of-way and entered the intersection and was struck on the left side by the Graham vehicle in the middle of the intersection. Both vehicles traveled then north to the north side of the intersection, with the Gardner vehicle stopping on the sidewalk and the Graham vehicle striking a porch of a home at 111 East Valley Street. Graham was transferred to the Montgomery County Hospital with possible injuries and was cited as well for failure to yield. Garner and a passenger in the vehicle were uninjured, but Graham was cited for failure to remove liability insurance. Both vehicles were towed from the scene. Landowners that would be impacted by a proposed oil pipeline through Iowa will be able to get more information at some upcoming public meetings. The Sioux City Journal reports that the Texas-based company seeking to build the $3.8 billion pipeline will start holding informal public meetings on Monday in northwest Iowa. Meetings are also scheduled in the other areas that the pipeline would touch. A spokesman for the Iowa Utility Board said the company must hold the meetings before seeking a permit. Energy Transfer Partners of Dallas wants to build the 1,100-mile underground pipeline across Iowa and three other states. The pipeline would carry crude oil daily from the Bakken oil fields in North Dakota to Patoka, Illinois, where it could be redirected. Authorities say icy roads have led to multiple car crashes on Interstate 29 in Sioux City. Sergeant Mike Manthorn with the Sioux City Police Department says the Friday morning crashes involved six vehicles traveling southbound and taking an exit ramp. An Iowa City man has been accused of stabbing his wife repeatedly with a piece of broken glass. 48-year-old Scott Bender faces an attempted murder charge in connection to the Wednesday morning altercation. A family member allegedly stopped the attack. The woman survived, but authorities haven't released additional information about her condition. New Jersey Republican Governor Chris Christie has vetoed a politically charged bill that would have banned the use of certain pig cages in the state. On Friday, the potential 2016 presidential contender called the bill a solution in search of a problem. The contraptions are rarely used on New Jersey's 300 pig farms, but they're widespread in Iowa, a state that's home to the nation's first presidential nominating caucuses. Council Bluffs is considering whether to begin regular city inspections of rental housing, but the idea has drawn fire from some landlords. The Daily Nonpareil says the current policy requires self-inspections by the property owners. Mayor Matt Walsh says Council Bluffs is the only city in Iowa with a population of more than 15,000 people that doesn't have professional inspectors. Authorities say two dogs have died in a house fire in Waterloo. Captain Ryan Mahood with the Waterloo Fire Rescue says the fire was reported early Friday. Neighbors near the house called 911 after seeing flames and smoke coming from the structure. The Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier reports that fire crews worked in below-freezing temperatures to extinguish the blaze. No residents were found inside the home at the time, but two dogs were found dead. Authorities say the house has extensive damage, and they're still figuring out the cause of the fire, which started in the basement. An Iowa man survived a house fire Thanksgiving morning and likely owes his life to his helpful dog. The Waterloo Courier Falls reports that a Cedar Falls man was asleep when a fire broke out in his home early Thursday. Cedar Falls Fire Chief John Schilling said the fire consumed the entire home, which did not have any working smoke detectors. The owner's dog woke the sleeping owner and both escaped to safety. The fire is still under investigation. Schilling said having working smoke detectors in the home should be as essential as having running water. And two Mason City residents are facing drug charges related to methamphetamine. The Mason City Globe-Gazette reports that they were arrested Wednesday after a traffic stop. William Odell and Teresa Pennington were stopped early Wednesday by our Cerro Gordo County Sheriff's Deputy. Odell was charged with methamphetamine possession with intent to deliver when related charges. Charges against Pennington include methamphetamine possession and possessing and conveying contraband into a correctional facility. The vehicle was impounded, and Odell and Pennington were taken to the county jail. That's a look at some of the latest news here this morning. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Dave Lee Holst, age 64, of Avoca, died Sunday at his residence. Funeral services for Dave Holst will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home, Avoca, has arrangements. Evelyn Llewellyn, age 83, of Adair, died Tuesday at the Kavanaugh House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Evelyn Llewellyn will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Casey United Methodist Church in Casey. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home, Adair, has arrangements. Judith M. Peterson, age 71, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Judith Peterson will be held today at 10:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Fred Short, age 86, of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital in Audubon. Celebration of life services for Fred Short will be held on today at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Barbara L. Norman, age 87, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Celebration of life services for Barbara Norman will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Lee Sheeter, age 58, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Lee Sheeter will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home Guthrie Center has arrangements. Janet Florine Fesser Sipker, age 67, of Defiance, died on Thursday at the Manning Regional Healthcare Center. A massive Christian burial service for Janet Fesser Sipker will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Myrtle L. Heckman, age 91, of Menlo, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Myrtle Heckman will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Steve Kesterson, age 59, of Harlan, died Tuesday. A massive Christian burial service for Steve Kesterson will be held Monday, 11 a.m. at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. Ray Jean Namani, age 65, of Oakland, died Wednesday at her home. A memorial service for Ray Jean Namani will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Oakland Christian Church. Reconvene Funeral Home Oakland has arrangements. Phyllis Nielsen, age 93, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday in Carroll. Funeral services for Phyllis Nielsen will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Marjorie E. Schultz, age 91, of Atlantic, died on Friday. No services are planned, but a visitation for Marjorie Schultz will be held Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Richard Bernhardt, age 88, of Kansas City, Missouri, formerly of Atlantic, died on Wednesday, November 26th, at home in Kansas City. Funeral services for Richard Bernhardt will be held on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. in Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Francis J. Vice, age 76, of Exira, died Wednesday in Dallas, Texas. Services for Francis Vice are pending in Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Ronald Spike Simon, age 72, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Services for Ronald Spike Simon are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at the latest news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.